The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 6 minutes after 12, Man in Line with you through till 1. Get in touch by calling 66 13 68. Email studio at manxradio.com or text 166 177. Well, with the new system, I'll give you a couple of numbers. 277 new cases or 409 active new cases yesterday. I know. So we now have 1,757 active cases, five of which are in Nobles Hospital. One of those five is in ICU. There are 742 people waiting for the result of a test and 613 people booked in for a test. Today, from the vaccination dashboard, 64,440 people have had a first dose administered, 56,586 second dose administered. There are 2,105 people booked in for the next 7 days, and Department of Health and Social Care holding 7,794 shots of vaccine in stock. That's where we stand. Your thoughts on the matter, really? We seem to be getting fairly inundated with cases at the moment, and there are varying opinions as to whether this is the right thing to do. Obviously, we get compared with neighbouring jurisdictions all the time. I don't know whether you think that's a relevant comparison or whether you think we need to concentrate on what we do ourselves. However, we are where we are. Did you hear the media briefing yesterday? The Chief Minister was talking about it's kind of almost steady as she goes. He didn't rule out any further restrictions, but of course, there's nothing new really happening. It's kind of really steady as she goes. Let's go to Devon with us now. This is Devon Watson. Congratulations, Devon, on your election last night into Douglas Council.
Thank you very much. I'm really happy with the result, really unhappy with the process. I'm really happy with it, but I'm deeply, deeply frustrated with the handling of this election.
Okay, well, new readers start here. Obviously, you're isolating, so you weren't around last night, but you're concerned because obviously lots of people who were isolating weren't able to vote, even though many people say the government had time to organise it. They contend that they didn't and there was nothing they could do. What's your view?
Yeah, so I mean, it is funny that thousands of people potentially have been disenfranchised, which is one of the reasons why we've had really low turnouts in regions where the populations are younger, because the vast majority of people isolating at the moment are between the ages of 15 and 35. The people who work in the service industry, young people who socialize a lot, which is why turnout is really low in Onchan and Douglas that have young populations. So they've had 15 months to deal with this, and Tim Baker was informed of this in January and again in March, and we emailed him earlier last week. So, I mean, it's not a surprise, and he's complaining that we're discussing this on social media, but this was the only avenue open to us because the Department of Infrastructure absolutely, or at least his office, absolutely refused to provide an adequate solution here. This wasn't a surprise that people were going to be isolating.
What could have happened then, in your opinion? What would have been a practical solution to the fact that some people would have been isolating and obviously couldn't wander into a polling booth? What should have been done?
Well, there's a number of solutions. I know people have suggested online voting, but something much, much simpler than that is allowing the same emergency proxy vote system that they have in the UK. That's allowed people to vote in elections with COVID. We talk about importing best practice from the UK, but we can't even copy legislation when it's absolutely needed. We could have had drive-through testing centers, drive-through polling stations, the same way we have with testing centers, which would have been relatively straightforward to set up. Or we could have had increased access to postal voting beyond the seven-day deadline to submit it.
I'm not going to paraphrase Mr. Baker, but let me just, if you like, play devil's advocate. Some people would say, Devon Watson, this is a fuss about nothing. It's a storm in a teacup.
I don't know. I mean, I think that, like, the bare minimum a democratic government has to do is be able to hold an election. So, I mean, if we are concerned about the legitimacy of our democratic systems, particularly when he himself has a majority of less than 200 votes, if thousands of people were sort of not allowed to vote. I mean, in Douglas East alone, current sitting MHKs have a majority of 6 votes. 30 people contacted me specifically saying, sorry, we're unable to vote for you because of this. And obviously I'm happy with the result because I won, but I encourage my opponents to go out there and challenge this result, because who knows what the outcome could have been if everyone was enfranchised and given the right to vote. But this isn't, if the Department of Infrastructure worked perfectly, right, if they hadn't screwed up the Liverpool ferry terminal or the prom or multiple other things that happen to be in the news every day, I think people would be a lot more forgiving of this. But Councillor Bentley and I were the two politicians who are actually willing to go out there and say, huh, the DOI has done some good things, and they've burned their last goodwill that they've had, I guess, with the public.
Do you think that Department of Infrastructure will permit this to happen in the Keys general election if, I mean, heaven forbid, but if we're in this situation in September?
I mean, it depends who's disenfranchised, right? I mean, I think it's easier to disenfranchise young people politically. It's easier to disenfranchise people with low incomes. It's easier to disenfranchise people who are busy and have families. So, I mean, who knows whether it'll be allowed, but I can't imagine. I think one of the reasons this was allowed to happen is A, the sort of people who are disenfranchised, and B, the fact that people don't think local politics matters quite a lot. And obviously what this does is this further reinforces that notion. So it creates a sort of negative cycle.
You're not suggesting that this is in any way orchestrated, that it was a plan.
I don't think it was orchestrated, but I don't think that, I think if it was different types of people who were sort of disenfranchised, such as if Tim Baker's sort of his own voting base were to say, hey, sorry, we can't vote, I'm sure he would have cared, because, I mean, he dismissed this as simply being a Douglas issue. But, I mean, if this was something that a lot of people in his own constituency were freaked out about, I mean, would he have responded the same way? We don't know, right? I mean, and if they implement a proper solution in September, we'll find out whether my theory is correct here.
Will you be filing legal papers?
And we certainly have grounds to. I think we've got 24 hours, so the deadline is pretty soon. But I think the grounds for a legal challenge are strong, and it's certainly something that we're looking at the moment.
Okay. Devon, thanks for calling today.
Thank you very much, Andy.
All right, 14 minutes past 12, and here sitting at the top of the pile of votes in Onchan. Hello, David.
Oh, hi, mate. Hi, Andy. All right?
Yes, good. And how are you feeling today?
Knackered. So that's all I can say. I've got sunstroke on my nose. I wasn't wearing shorts, so they're not brown, but my arms are really roasting. I just wanted, I didn't hear your colleague before talking about the council thing, but can I just echo the sentiments as well, that really they could have done something? Why do we have a government ourselves who can do things differently? Like Tony Brown would say, is the differences that make us different, isn't it? And why couldn't we have done something or give that extra, 3 or 4 days to the power to the returning officer to say there are people who are positive, and a lot of them were young youths and juveniles and stuff like that who were tested positive and wanted to vote but couldn't. Some families were able to vote, some families couldn't vote because it was in their home setting. And I just think we did miss an opportunity. But I just wanted to thank the people, because it's a good way of doing it, to tell you the truth, the people out there who didn't vote. And some people say, oh, Onchan's election was only 23.5%. But in the by-election in October, in the winter months, it was actually 27.5% when there was only 2 candidates. But the candidates did try. I must give them all that. And to appreciate the people of Onchan, when it's a local authority election, you're going from just outside London, where the Liverpool Arms used to be, to up the Cregner Bar, all the way down to Tremold. It's a massive area. I think it's about 6,000 homes, which is a lot to cover in a short space of time. Mm. And I just think that now there's new people in all over the place. It's now the time that what we call the local government unit, who's probably been very quiet, to tell you the truth. I wonder if Mr. Baker's actually in charge of it, or does he have a political member in there? But we can get together and move things on, because local politics is just as important as national politics. National politics is keeping that economy going, driving things, and making sure that people want stuff that's going to happen. Some of the issues they've got, this extra money coming from the building that they're put in Liverpool there, massively, somebody needs to inquire into that. I mean, it should have been a fixed-term contract. And the question everybody needs to ask when people are knocking on the door, or even talking to Mr. Baker, is how many variations to contract have you had? So it's the flumes at the NSC. How many variations to contract did you have, authorised variations? The same with the roads, Richmond Hill, and all these other places that are starting to cost us a lot of money. You need to have variations to the contract. They've got to be signed off somewhere.
What would your message be, David, to people who didn't bother to vote? People who had that polling card sitting at home, were perfectly entitled, and the people who didn't go out to vote. What would you say to them?
Well, I'd say to them, they missed an opportunity, A, is to meet the candidates personally. I can understand the difficulties with distancing, but when you're outdoors, it was a great day yesterday. I mean, we were all cooked solid. But, and I think I've heard one of the other candidates in another particular area saying we could have had a drive-through polling station. We could have had a place. And I must thank the returning officer, Faronka, to tell you the truth, because he made his conscientious decision. If somebody was, we had people in wheelchairs, we had people in with Zimmer frames and stuff like that, walking with canes, and it's awkward to get into buildings, but he made the conscious decision that if somebody wanted to vote and they came in the car, he passed the material through, checked the person who he was, and allowed them to vote. And that's been sensible, instead of looking at regulations and saying, well, you can't do this because regulation says that, and you can't do this because regulation says that. The returning officer runs the election to make sure that the people who want to vote can vote.
And that was Jeremy Callan, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, it was a fine day. And thanks, because we forgot to. And I listened, the first thing I did when I got up about half 10, had a soak and listened again. And I listened to it all, and I got to the end. But midnight, there was no honking, so I don't know where that is.
Oh, that happened. No, we went on till after midnight for honking. We rolled on. But isn't that's not included in the listen again, is it?
It's not. No, oh, it was well. Midnight. And we didn't, because we in honking were listening to your reporter there, and we were going to sing Auld Lang Syne on the way out.
Well, the joke was honking went to extra time and penalties.
Well, yeah, and it wasn't for any reasons that were put up on Facebook. And I can't mention too much in there, but if you look at the voting status anyway, there were people that wanted to vote. There were people who wanted to change things. And I just want, personally, myself, just for me, is to get the village back together. All right?
Okay, thanks for calling today.
See you, boy.
All right, 20 past 12 on Manx Radio. Yes, the infrastructure ministers hit back at accusations of negligence over the local authority elections yesterday. Councillor Andrew Bentley in Douglas said there was no excuse for Tim Baker not to have mitigation plans in place so people who were self-isolating could still have voted. Does Mr. Baker think he was negligent?
No. Every option was considered. The very clear advice from the Attorney General's chambers was that we're in danger of changing a known problem for other unknown problems that would be equally or if not more serious. We engaged with local authorities, and they some had an appetite to to try and do something. Some didn't see it as much of an issue, but actually the majority was. It was too hard a problem to fix at this point in time without potentially compromising the integrity of the election process.
It may have been too much of an issue to fix at this point in time, but you say this is, you know, you admit yourself, it's been postponed two times. This isn't a new situation. We knew that coronavirus was affecting the local authority elections last year. Why did it take until this last couple of weeks to start realising this could be an issue?
Well, I think you've got to look at where we are. The scale of the COVID pandemic on the Isle of Man now is completely different from where it's been at any time in that last 18-month period. I mean, I heard Andrew Bentley say it was entirely foreseeable, and I'd say, well, what did he do about it at that point in time? Why weren't...
It was mentioned in Douglas Council.
Yeah, it may be mentioned in Douglas Council, but, you know, many things are mentioned by many, many people. It's actually about saying, OK, we want something different doing about this. And, you know, it's been postponed twice. We did consider postponing it again, but we felt that the consequences for the local authorities across the whole of the island were far worse than proceeding. And that was the decision we made. We're in a pandemic. We've got difficult choices to make. It's very easy sitting on the outside and just saying, we'll just sort that out without any understanding of the ramifications of it.
That was Tim Baker this morning on The Breakfast Show. A note in from Sue in Kirkmichael said, I wasn't sure if the local elections were for my area, Kirkmichael. I had three leaflets through the door, but I don't know if they were for local or general election. I didn't get voting papers. Went online, it said I had to register to vote. Didn't know that. Well, Michael was uncontested, Sue. Matthew Dial, Catriona Livingston, Avril Muller, Paul Clark, Barry Murphy, Diane Kelly and Carol Lillywhite were all returned unopposed for Michael. In fact, Barry Murphy was in this. That's exactly the same Barry Murphy, the gas campaigner, is now a Michael commissioner. And last night, he had quite a lot to say, did Barry, had some very honest words about why he was standing. So that's the situation in Michael. Only 7 of the 21 authorities actually had elections. Only 7 of the 21 had more than enough candidates to fill the seats. That's, you know, bears comment on its own. But yes, I voted, but I think the government should have had a website to vote on for people who couldn't vote or for people who didn't want to go to polling stations. There's more of the people that are isolating, our younger generation, I believe, says James in Castletown. With the schools breaking up, teenagers heading for rivers and countryside, which is great to have a good time. But I filled 2 bags of rubbish left at Corneille yesterday. They blew up a spray can, apparently. And now some of them were, some of their parents will be shocked. Just keep it peeled, really. If you're taking stuff out into the countryside or on the beaches, make sure you clear up after yourself. And certainly, if you're heading up into the hills and there's dry grass around, you know what you have to do. And certainly, a portable barbecue may not be the best idea. Lots of emails in and texts. Last night's government briefing only served to highlight, says Southern Andy to me, and many I've spoken to since, that only Miss Hewitt gave an honest position of fact. It became obvious under question from Paul Moulton that she couldn't confirm she agreed with the Comyn decisions. Am I wrong in thinking slightly that we're under a dictatorship where the words of experts and MHKs are ignored? Even yesterday, the Chief Minister expressed great dissatisfaction that some MHKs hadn't towed the party line. Well, there isn't a party line, but we know what you mean, regarding Saturday's potential changes. We as an island need to think very carefully how we vote in September. Well, we'll be going through all that way before September. Janine said, message, Janine. I don't think you're trying to email Manx Radio. That was probably a personal one. Why are the toilets closed at Peel Breakwater, closed at 8 o'clock in the summertime? It's madness. It doesn't get dark until gone 10, so why close the loos at Peel Breakwater? Richard said Tim Baker's interview was a bit cringeworthy. And it sounded like the legislation will be changed in time for the general election. Maybe that's because they realise the importance of a few hundred votes. Maybe Mr. Baker does, despite what he said in Tynwald earlier this week. Maybe, obviously, Tim Baker is the Minister for Infrastructure, but there's a whole kind of raft of bureaucrats behind there. So I don't know whether you think Mr. Baker can influence that. It's an enormous department, whether Tim Baker actually sits and makes decisions or whether he takes advice from other people. Well, we could possibly ask him as we get closer to the Keys general election. Adam with us now. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Randy. You're right.
Well, it's getting a bit misty, actually. It's hazy over Douglas at the moment.
Is it? Well, that'll cool you down a bit after all the hot weather, won't it? What I was going to say, Andy, I just wanted to come on and respond to Devin Watson. I mean, he had, when he came on at the start of the programme, he had absolutely nothing to say, did he, about the future of Douglas or what he's going to do for Douglas. Just a whole load of Marxist sociology projected onto the Manx Nation, projected onto the Isle of Man. And he said, didn't he, that it was the less well-off who were disenfranchised. And in fact, if you look at the results we had last night, Jerby, which is probably the poorest parish in the Isle of Man, had the highest turnout at 41%. So I think, you know, what that says is it's the old Manx families, the people who've lived on the land and whatever in the Isle of Man for generations, who take pride in their communities and who are going out and voting. Because, I mean, Jerby, it's full of, for want of a better word, Andy Hillbillies, to be honest, and although I'm not using that in a derogatory sense.
And several millionaires' mansions as well.
Well, and several millionaires' mansions, Andy, yes. But, I mean, do they vote in the local elections? I doubt it, to be honest. But I mean, in fact, it's society should not be divided along those class lines, which Devin Watson is all about, and all about carving nations up along class lines.
Well, he's a member of the Manx Labour Party. He's a Manx Labour Party councillor now.
Yeah, and he had nothing to say, did he, about the future of Douglas, just all about national politics and his philosophy. And I think it's a shame that people who are more about philosophy than about their local community and taking a part in their local community are winning in the Manx elections. And I think this, the fact that the Green Party and the Labour Party, they now make up a quarter of Douglas Council between them, I think it's indicative that people who are in these parties that are doing quite well in local politics, because I think it's probably because people feel that they know what they stand for, because they know what the UK equivalents are about. And whereas independent candidates, they don't have that advantage. But I think it's a great shame that, that local politics is being distorted and politicised by divisive philosophies.
Well, local politics will by definition be politicised.
Yeah, well, it should be. It doesn't need to be politicised by international philosophies and schools of thought, which do not necessarily apply to the Isle of Man or its people. And to be honest with you, I would like to hear a local candidate talk about local issues and have some ideas. And Devin Watson, he's voted to get rid of the festoon lights. He voted, you know, in favour of turning the promenade gardens into weed patches. And I don't think that any sat on a, him and the Green Party members, they've sat on a council over the last 5 years, which has done, in my view, absolutely nothing positive for Douglas. So I think it's devastating, this morning's results, to be honest, for Douglas.
Would you be standing then next time, perhaps?
Yeah, I will consider standing next time, to be honest, if I'm still living here. I mean, you know, I might get a job abroad, Andy, and be off abroad somewhere, but failing that, I might consider it, yeah.
Thanks for calling today, Adam.
Thank you, Andy.
Good to talk to you.
£1,000.
£1,000.
An actual £1,000. Motormore will let us trade in our old Heat for one of their new or used cars and give us £1,000 more than it's worth.
Yep, there's finance options too.
Blimey, a decent car for the summer. Where do we sign?
I know it's hard to believe, but Motormore really will give you £1,000 more for your old car than it's worth. But you've only got till July the 25th, so get down to Motor Mall at Cool Road, Braddon, and claim your £1,000 trading bonus now.
Don't miss the one and only Paradise and Gale summer sale, with genuine savings on our already sizzling prices. Save big on our sumptuous sofas, stylish dining furniture, beautiful bedrooms and accessories. And because we're Paradise and Gale, most items are in stock and available for immediate free delivery and assembly. The Paradise and Gale summer sale. Sale now on. Click paradiseandgale.com. Paradise and Gale. You'll love our furniture. You'll love our prices.
Looks like the Manx Shearwater has returned early this year.
Shearwater? Your investment plan with Ramsay Crookhall?
No, the bird.
Oh!
But you're right. My Shearwater should make some impressive returns too.
Wish I could afford to invest.
You can. It's flexible and really affordable. Invest a lump sum or a monthly amount. It'd be a great way for you to get started.
Shearwater from Ramsay Crookhall. For 75 years, the island's investment specialist, offering a wide range of services to make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookhall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
The Port Erin Beach Festival is on this weekend. And with the schools breaking up today, it's the perfect start to the summer holidays with loads of fun for all the family. There'll be a bouncy castle on the beach, a giant water slide, live music, and there'll be fireworks tomorrow evening at 10:30. And the Manx Radio touring team will also be there tomorrow. Make sure you come along and say hello. Plus, we'll give you the chance to win £30 to spend at Lagusto Pizza in Port Erin with our tropical themed selfie competition. The Port Erin Festival of the Beach and Sea, 9 till 5 this Saturday and Sunday, supported by the Domestic Event Fund and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
28 minutes before 1, thanks for dropping by, thanks for tuning in on this Friday lunchtime, live from the Isle of Man. Oh, Devon's back now. Hi, Devon.
Hi, how are we? I just wanted to respond to the previous caller.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I just want to address some of the falsehoods. So, yes, I did not vote in favor of removing the festival lights. I've not been in there for 5 years. I've been in there for 9 months. Nor did I vote to turn the weed patches into the grass patches into weed patches or whatever. I guess it's one of those in which if someone is going to criticize me on a national platform, they should try and get some facts straight. But, I mean, I guess the broader concern is that I didn't talk about my own policies and what I want to see done in Douglas over the next few years. Because I think that the biggest question here needs to be ensuring election integrity. And obviously, there's a lot of areas in which national government and local government overlap. But there are some core issues in Douglas, and I think it might be valuable to discuss some of those, such as the biggest one being affordable housing and the shocking state of infrastructure in large parts of Douglas. Many of our roads and streets are completely inaccessible, and that will require lobbying the DOI for better infrastructure there. We do need to lobby for better parking control, because a lot of these powers have been handed over. But just more broadly, because I think there is a broader contention that Douglas Borough Council or that local government should never butt against national government, and it should just only focus on hyper-local issues. But democracy on the Isle of Man originated by Douglas Borough Council challenging national government. I mean, it's one of those where this was the only democratic platform that many people did have access to. So it provides a useful counterweight, and we've seen this elsewhere in the world where national politics and local politics can sometimes, to an extent, play a healthy counterbalance to one another. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Okay, Devon, how are you going to stop people parking in Douglas who don't live in Douglas?
I don't think we can stop that, but I think what we do have to do is we have to emphasize better alternatives. One of the best things we can do is we have to create a public transport that is workable, because currently, if you've got a family or you're a commuter, buses run less frequently during commuting times than they do during the day. Buses from Ramsay into Douglas are highly expensive, and there's a lack of alternative options. I mean, it needs to be easy for families to get in there. Also, by having more people living in the town centre, close to where they work, it does help shore up some of these congestion issues.
You wanted public transport free, didn't you?
Yes, I mean, it's cheaper than what we currently have at the moment. And we currently have a climate change mitigation strategy or budget of that of £10 million. Free public transport would cost about £4 million. And it's a huge subsidy toward people who are poor. I know people do complain when I say that this is my constituency and I would like to advocate for people who are working or middle class, but I think this is not a bad thing. I think that giving them a subsidy in terms of free guaranteed transport isn't the worst thing in the world.
You don't consider yourself a class warrior?
No, I mean, I think what I am is I'm young, I'm 26 years old, and I think we've got a slightly different style of politics. But I think that a democracy means having a load of people with a load of different views. I'm not going to oppose my views.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling again. Let's go to Tom now on Manx Radio. Hi, Tom.
Hello there, Andy.
Hi, Tom. Right.
Comment with your previous caller, Adam, said about hillbillies in Derby. I live in Douglas. My son lived in Douglas for probably an earlier part of his life, but he purchased a property in Derby because that's what him and his partner at the time could afford.
Yeah.
He's a trained nurse. He's not an idiot. He's certainly not a hillbilly. So I resented Adam's comment. But I do agree that things could have been done better. There was time, and that Mr. Baker's comments don't really hold water. They could have done something to allow for people to be able to vote, because my wife is disabled. She's in a wheelchair, and she, because of the heat, didn't feel like going out to get to the polling station to vote yesterday. I did go. Now, we are waiting for a wheelchair lift to be installed at the front of our house. We're paying for it. State isn't paying for it, so which would allow her to get in and out the house more easily in her wheelchair. My wife became ill in 2020 with sepsis in September, because in March everything was locked down. Her regular swimming, she swam four times a week, her regular remedial gym twice a week, and her yoga, everything was cancelled. And then you used the gym to store equipment, which we needed to do for the health services. And I understand that they did what they did, but no thought or consideration was given to disabled people. And since in September last year, my wife was seriously ill with sepsis, which was related to the mobility problems, and she ended up in ITU for 11 days. Then on one of the medical wards at Nobles, and then up to Ramsey for rehab. But whereas she could walk about with a Zimmer frame in the house, she's confined to using a wheelchair, can't stand and cannot walk about. So I think there are people in government and in the council who do not think enough about the disabled members of the community and what they need. It's all hogwash with regard to the equality. It suited certain people, but they haven't done very much. And now you look at all these wonderful curbs we're building, high curbs, which are difficult to get wheelchairs off. So I resented Adam saying about the hillbillies in Derby. As you say, they're farming people. There are a lot of money people who live up there too. My son's just a working person, but he's a trained nurse and a useful member of society.
Okay, all right, Tom, thanks for calling today.
Well, I did talk to you some months back. A gentleman rang in about, couldn't the army do things? Well, you made a remark that day about they were doing injections. I don't think at that time the army were doing injections. Certainly not non-trained personnel would be doing that.
Oh, in the UK that was?
In the UK, yeah. It wasn't. Yeah. They were doing swabbing and things like that. They were not actually injecting people. But there is an element of the community, maybe the older element, who think that the army is still sitting in barracks, whitewashing coal and, you know, painting stones and things like that.
Oh, there aren't enough of them to do that.
They're very hard pushed.
Yes.
Anyway, I just felt I had to say what. And further to what I've told you about my wife and the sepsis, there were three other people from the MS Society, two other people who had the problem. And now them are back to 100% now, you know, 100% of what they were able to do. And one of the ladies is dead.
Tom, thanks for calling in today. We appreciate that.
Right, thank you.
Okay, Howard joins us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. I don't think you can hear me. I'm just below you at the quarry down the bottom. The thing with the lateral flow test, the number that's actually getting used or taken. And I just crossed my mind last night. I wonder whether, because they're going out so quick, do we have the same problem with people rushing around the stores and around the chemists? Are there any records of who's actually taken them?
Well, of course, they are free, and Mr. Ashford referred to the fact that there was a tendency, some people had been spotted hoarding them.
Well, this is what I was thinking, that the same greedy people that cleared the shelves in all the shops at the beginning of the COVID, are they the same people that's going from chemist to chemist and shop to shop and picking these up and depriving of people who really want them. Because 40,000 in a couple of days is an awful lot of tests. And as you say rightly, they are free. But they're there free for a purpose, and that was to help the people who have a genuine fear of catching COVID or a test. And the people there, didn't they end up with garage fulls of toilet rolls and pasta? And are they going to do the same thing now? Because this is costing the Manx government, not having to go into Tesco or ShopRite and buy them. This is costing the people of the island money. As they said yesterday, £2.75 each.
And apparently over 100,000 on the way to the island as well.
Yeah, well, I've got no worries about that. If they are needed, very well. But that there then will set the greedy eyes going, and we've got 120,000 on the way. And they're putting the names of the chemist shops in the papers and on the internet. And people are just going to go around and can I have a lateral flow test? Can I have and they're popping from shop to shop. And eventually when this is hopefully all over, they're possibly going to have dozens of them sitting in their garages or in their homes and have absolutely no use for them. What I'd like to know, is there a record of when they go out, or is it just something that's handed out willy-nilly?
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling, Howard.
Take care. Bye now.
Good to talk to you. Have a good weekend. Here's John with us now on Man in Line. Hi, John.
Oh, hi. Concerning the Chief Minister's briefing yesterday at 5 o'clock,
yeah.
I would like to congratulate Paul Moulton for asking the one question that everybody wanted the answer to, and that was if Dr. Henrietta was 100% happy with the decision that had been made. Now, she didn't say one way or the other, which I can understand. She avoided the question three times, but she didn't say she was 100% behind them, which reading between the lines means that she wasn't. Now, at one time, and I know this for a fact because a member of my family worked for public health, and in those days, the director of public health had the final word on health items. Whatever was said, he had the final decision. Now, it seems now that the the MHKs that have the committee to decide all this.
Oh, Comin.
Comin. They, who, let's face it, apart from Dr. Allison, have no medical knowledge whatsoever between them. So what is the point of having a director of public health if you're going to really not take much notice of what she says? I felt very sorry for her, actually. And, fair enough, Paul Moulton put her on the spot. But in all fairness, it was a fair question.
So, I mean, do you think if the director of public health had said no, and again, this is in the realm of speculation, if she had said no, do you think the government come in? And remember, their task is wider than just health. I mean, health is very important, but they have a wider remit.
A wider remit, but the health angle is the top one, let's face it. Because now, how many cases have we got now? Over 1,000?
1,757.
Yeah. Well, what does that tell you?
Well, what it also tells us, I mean, there is one person in an ICU and four others in hospital.
Yeah.
But remember, Mr. Ashford, they've always said it's all about the pressure on the health service and, by definition, the pressure on the ICU unit.
Yeah, yeah. But what happens if these figures go up and up and up and up? How far do they have to get before they start backpedaling again and say, Dr. Henrietta was right?
Okay. John, thanks for calling today. We appreciate that.
Bye now.
Thanks for being with us. 12:45 on Manx Radio.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The Man in Line.
You wouldn't throw your money down the drain, so why pay over the odds for your car and van insurance? Blackford & Company's car and van insurance is designed for Isle of Man residents with local service and internet prices. Blackford & Company believe this is their best car and van insurance yet. So if you're aged between 21 and 80, call today on 832 042 or go to manxcover.com. Don't delay, call Blackford's today. Why pay more when you can pay less? Blackford & Company are registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Lovely to see you, Auntie, even if it is over the internet.
Yes! Sorry I've not been able to come over. How's that nephew of mine?
Geoffrey's fine. I'll just shout him.
He looks lovely and peaceful there.
Geoffrey! Come and talk to Auntie!
Not as quiet as I thought, dear.
I don't know what we'd do without our Spectrum double glazing.
For very effective double and triple glazing, visit spectrumwindows.im or the showroom Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
A&B Metals, A&B Metals. Gates and railings, balustrades, structural steel, it's our game. Come to the A&B Metals crew, there is nothing we can't do. A&B Metals know the rules, we've all been to metal school. All our teams are skilled to use all the metal working tools.
A&B Metals in Hills Meadow are probably the largest structural steel supplier on the island. So where do you get your steel?
A&B Metals, A&B Metals, A&B Metals.
When you need a monument for your loved ones, contact T.E. Cubbon, a trusted family-run business for over 150 years. T.E. Cubbon provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. For quality workmanship and a professional personal service tailored to your wishes, visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway, Douglas. Call 844-440 T.E. Cubbon. Here when you need us.
Jump aboard the time train and take a trip back to the 1960s on Carnaby Street every Saturday morning at 8:30 with Isle of Man Railways. It's full of 60s hits and memories. On board the time train, Gladys the Tea Lady.
Right, boys.
Harry the Driver.
Hello, crispy old mate.
Roger the Fireman.
All aboard Isle of Man Railways time train.
Oh, and Raffles the Dog. And of course, you and me. You can win tickets for two for one of the Isle of Man Railways' fantastic dining car experiences. Carnaby Street, 8:30, on Manx Radio, on AMFM, online, on smart speakers, and all over the world at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
12 minutes before one, just a couple of comments, and I can't understand why the massive events, the Port Erin Beach Festival and the Dark Horse Festival, are starting today, going on for 3 days. Can't believe that the law hasn't postponed it. These events, when COVID cases are more rife than they've ever been. Do you think it's time to do that, perhaps? Or do you think, obviously, the Chief Minister keeps talking about moving on, living with the virus, mitigation. Oh, Adam's back. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Randy. You all right? I'm just ringing up. I wanted to respond to Tom. I was quite annoyed by his comment because it deliberately twisted what I had said. In fact, I said that I was very much in favour of helping people. I know I called them hillbillies. Maybe I shouldn't have used that word. But what I was referring to, as I said in my previous comment, was the old Manx families who lived in the parish of Jerby for generations. And I was saying that they take more civic pride in their community than newcomers or millionaires who buy up mansions in the parish. And I mean, his son is obviously not a hillbilly, and nor is he. They've moved over. But I'm using hillbilly in a positive sense, and I would very much support the hillbillies and not him, quite frankly. So I think I was upset to hear him deliberately twist what I said.
It sounds like you don't like the idea of millionaires buying mansions on the Isle of Man.
I think a lot of them don't engage with the community, or they don't do their shopping here. They do their shopping online, or they go away for the shopping, and their money doesn't feed through to the Manx community. They just live here for tax purposes and pay taxes, and force the value of land up, and force the house prices up. So it's not that I don't like millionaires per se, Andy. It's just that I think the island pursues the incorrect policy and trying to attract them over, and it should be about looking after the Manx people who take pride in their communities. And as I say, neither Tom nor his son fit in that category.
Okay,
so
all right.
They have no right to make the comment.
Thanks for clearing that up, Adam. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
All right, here's Juan on Man in Line. Hi, Juan.
How are you, Andy?
Well, very well today, actually, and looking forward to a nice warm weekend.
Absolutely, and a busy weekend as well. Just want to pick up on a couple of things you said there. On what Adam said before, and I noticed Devon Watson came on and counteracted what Adam said, but it kind of avoided the question that Adam asked, and that's like, what's Devon's politics? He asked about socialism and Marxism views. Devon skirted around that. It would be nice for Devon to come on and actually say what his actual politics are. That's just one thing. The other thing you just mentioned there before about cancelling the events for the weekend. Well, why do you think we should do that? I mean, the government have made their decision to go forward. And why would we think we've done that? We're back to this pandemic of testing again, which is what I said weeks ago. Businesses are failing, companies are closing, companies can't get staff because we've got a pandemic of testing. So why don't we go back to what we used to do in the old normal? That was, if you're not well, go home, go to bed, take your chicken soup, do whatever you've got to do, get back up and go to work when you feel healthy. Not have to go up and queue for an hour in a car for someone to stick a 6-inch cotton bud up your nose, tell you that you're not well, go home and have to quarantine for 10 days. Why don't you just use your common sense and do what we used to do?
How long do you give this, Duan? I mean, certainly yesterday Mr. Quayle was talking about the fact that there's a kind of implicit idea that the curve will flatten and things will get better. Do you think that's right?
I think my views, I've said right from the start, I think that the it's been handled by a world agenda. And nicely, we've just given £6 million worth of ratepayers' money to the World Health Organization, haven't we? Like they closed the world down or helped to. It's been driven by a world agenda. It's been driven by the media. If you took away the media, the mainstream media on this narrative, which is not representing the whole of the scope of this, they're just representing what they want. And you take that away and you take testing away, what are you left with? You're left with not a lot out of this. Once you take the media narrative away from this and you take testing away, you're left with a virus, which we've dealt with viruses for hundreds of years. We've got a damn good immune system which has dealt with it. I think what government is doing is right. I think that's what they should have done at the start. And like I've said before, I've given some examples of countries which have done this right from the start. And they're all right, thank you very much. The economies are good and everything is up and running and everyone is living a normal life.
So where will you be this weekend, Duan?
With sunny Port Erin this weekend for 2 days.
Right, well, have a lovely day. I hope your tan gets deeper anyway.
See you soon, Andy.
Thanks for calling. 7 minutes before one. Text, email or call. Howard dropped me a note just to say Mr. Baker isn't the person from government in charge of local authorities. The responsibility comes under Mr. Callister, one of the Onken MHKs at DOI. We surely should hear from Mr. Callister over this, if he's the person responsible. The reason for the low turnout was that people aren't interested in local politics, especially in Onken, with all the bickering amongst the commissioners as well. It would have been a low turnout without COVID-19 anyway, says Dave. Well, I think we have to define what you think is a low turnout. Is a low turnout 40%, 30%, 20%, less than 20%? What would you think would be a low turnout? Sometimes, and last night, Tony Brown, who was on Local Democracy Live, was saying issues light up elections. Issues. If candidates engage with issues, then suddenly the voting rate goes up. The turnout will go up. Text or email. I missed my vote because they moved my polling station from Douglas Prom to Glencrutchery Road. My fault for not reading the polling card, says Martin. Can you check out whether any cannabis licenses have been issued? I've heard there are certain well-known people with cannabis licenses, says Terry. Well, we'll certainly find out, Terry. If you drop me a note, if you want, just to elaborate on what you've said. We'd certainly like to hear from that as well. You've got to say, let's have a look here. Nicola, who just said, thank Adam for his consideration. We should look after our own, true grounded families. And that's Nicola with her point of view. I've got a note in that just says, can a digital system be set up for the voting process so that people can actually vote who are having to self-isolate? Also, the location of the Douglas North Voting Centre and the Mike Hellwood Centre may have put off some potential voters as it's right next to the COVID drive-in. Would another venue for voting have been better? Choice and brought out more voters. So, Andy, all the best to you. Oh, no, that's Elliot, by the way. My name's Andy, that's it. It's been a long week. Government's had a lot of surprises recently. Demand for 111, demand for LFTs, increased infections, making us a world leader in cases per 100,000. I hope they're not surprised by higher demand for COVID beds than their non-modelling predicts, says Gaz. Thanks for being on Man in Line today. Thanks for tuning in. Back Monday at high noon. Well, you make your choices this weekend, whatever you're doing. Have a good time. And thanks to Barry Redfern producing this week.